Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttle Bucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttle Bucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go, Scuttlebucks! All right, all right, all right. A win! We get to do the show after a freaking win! Yay, Bucks! What a way to start. 1-1. Now we're really kicking ourselves about that San Fran game, but watching them throw up 41 this week, you know, okay. Defense, feeling very good about Todd Bowles' defense. They, like, look and play confidently. They get off the field on third downs. What are we doing here? What kind of Buccaneers team is this? A new one. Is it the dawn of a new day? Well, if it is, the Bucs, Tom, will beat the New York Giants and a rookie quarterback by the name of Daniel Jones. Of course, we saw plenty of Daniel Jones covering the ACC when he was at Duke. And because we saw plenty of Daniel Jones in his time at Duke, we were as perplexed as anybody else when he was drafted where he was in the first round by the Giants. I don't blame the Giants, by the way, for making the call to bench Eli Manning. He should have been benched 3 freaking years ago. So, Giants fan, you get a reprieve. You don't have to watch Eli, who sucks to high heaven, take the field again. They're moving on. It's about time. You're no longer shackled to Eli and his aging, sorry arm and end-of-career status. You know what? Hell of a run, Eli. But if you're a Giants fan, you're excited that you're moving on. But you don't know whether to be real excited or not because Daniel Jones completed some passes, lots of them even in the preseason. That portends of nothing. Now he's going to see blitz packages this week that he's never seen before. He's got a confident and hungry Buccaneers defense, a team that feels very, very good about themselves going into this game, and an opportunity to move to 2-1. And, Tom, we can talk a little bit about this as well. And also they're at home. The division just got really, really interesting. I mean really interesting. Now, it's a shame. Drew Brees got hurt. I won't lose sleep over it, but I would never wish for it to happen. But it did happen. It's a big boy game. People get hurt. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. That's a big deal. Not a death nail for the Saints, but problematic to say the least. Carolina looks pretty fragile, much like Cam Newton.
Looks
pretty fragile.
In need of a new coach.
Yeah, I think and maybe that's...
Probably last year.
Yeah.
I was surprised they brought him back.
All right, so Carolina's got some issues. I think that's only going to grow. We're going to watch this team kind of spiral now. Cam looks broken. They got real problems on their hands. So there you go. I'm not, you know, overwhelmed by Matt Ryan and the Falcons. I don't think Matt Ryan's been all that good post the Super Bowl season. You know, he had a run there that was pretty impressive when Shanahan was calling plays. But prior to that and post that,
remember, it took him some time to get up to speed there, too. He went to the media and said the offense is too complicated. The terminology is too crazy. And then eventually he got it, and they were world beaters.
Yeah, and then he left, Shanahan, that is. Yes. And yep. We see his prowess every week in San Francisco. He is probably the premier play caller in all of the National Football League. Okay. Well, fine. They don't have him anymore, and he's looked pedestrian. They've got weapons everywhere. The Falcons, probably the favorite to win the division. Why do I bring all this up?
Yeah, today, as we timestamp it for this week.
Yeah. But what I would argue right now is that, hey, look, I'm not telling you the Bucs are going to win the NFC South. I'm telling you the NFC South is winnable. That's what I'm telling you. For the first time in a long time, somebody that you're not real certain about has a chance to win the NFC South. You can't just mark it down and pin that Atlanta or New Orleans is winning this division. Of course, in the past, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans all flipping spots while the Bucs sat out there on the outside looking in. We're not on the outside looking in anymore. We're amongst the group with a legitimate shot to make this thing interesting.
Yeah, I think if you were to do an approval poll rating down in Tampa, and I know JoeBucksFan.com does that a lot with head coaches, GMs. I think Todd Bowles might have the highest approval rating, even more so than Bruce Arians.
Night and day.
Because I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened, obviously, last Thursday. It's been forever ago. We got the, you know, the benefit of doing almost a pregame show last week, but it's a long time in the past now, the rearview mirror. But in the second half, my observation is this, that the secondary was out of gas, that we were out of gas in general. And so Todd is already, you know, he's already preconditioned to bring pressures. He loves to blitz. He did so even more in this game because he knew we can't cover for even the normal amount of time.
Exhausted, yeah.
Our secondary looked a little bit shaky there towards the end. But Cam looked even shakier under pressure, to the point that when there was no pressure, he saw ghosts and he missed a couple of easy throws that could have put Carolina up late in that game. They did not. And kudos to Todd Bowles for figuring something out instead of letting something happen to you. Make something happen yourself.
Yeah, be aggressive. We talk about it a lot when we watch defensive football and when it's not happening, when you see guys go into a shell, it's death by a thousand paper cuts. You just can't do that. I mean, take your chances. Let's see if you can dial up some pressures, get the ball out of his hand a little bit sooner, maybe force a mistake, something along those lines.
Well, worst comes to worst in that situation, you're down a point.
But you get the ball back.
And you get the ball back with plenty of time to get down and go kick a game-winning field goal.
Yeah. So, look, the game plays out in dramatic fashion. Bucks don't typically win these games that come down to the wire like that, and they certainly don't win it with an outstanding defensive stop. And yet, there it was, a big-time defensive stop. That's a hell of a tackle, Vernon Hargraves. That is a hell of a tackle.
It really was, and he was lousy in coverage.
Yeah,
But
well, he typically is.
He came up and made some big-time plays. I think he was one of those that just ran out of gas. He's like, what is this? I'm used to just sitting back in a zone for 16 games a season and getting beat.
But my man came up despite exhaustion.
Yep.
Understanding the situation and played with a level of desperation, sheer desperation that you'd beg your players to play with. We're trying to win a game here, man.
Yeah.
Lay it on the line. I don't care if that guy stiff arms your jugular. Let's go. And he did.
Yeah, there was one thing I was introduced to last week, and I'm probably about 2 or 3 years late to it. But you know how memes go. They go viral, and then sometimes you call back to them and you think, that's hilarious. It's the screaming cowboy Jimmy Barnes. He's this cowboy silhouette or like a little transparent guy in the sky, and he screams, ha! and that is how I feel about our defense, because it's almost like a discovery of joy screaming that this guy has in this techno song. And that's how I feel about third and fourth and short with our defense. I mean, it is such a sight for sore eyes. We don't pressure the passer with our front group enough, but when we have to make a stop, we get up to the line of scrimmage in mass, we stay in our gaps, and we make the stop necessary. It's amazing.
We take calculated risks, too, and you're playing percentages. And I used to beg the Bucks to do that. Look, occasionally, it backfires. You're going to get beat, long touchdown. It's like when you bring nine guys up and he gets through the line on fourth and inches, it might be a house call.
Right.
But you take the calculated risk to make it happen. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't lay back. What are you doing? You're guaranteeing the first down. So we're playing smart. We're playing the percentages. We're playing hard and aggressive. It's a joy to watch right now. Listen, I understand if you're going to look at, you know, yards per play and all that kind of stuff, you might be, hey, listen, what's going on with this offense? And I'll talk about it next with Lee DeKemper. He's going to join us on the program. But I'm not worried. Evans hasn't been himself yet, clearly. We've gotten absolutely nothing from O.J. Howard so far. But we do see an emerging running game that's now been there for 2 weeks when you had to have it. So that's positive. I can't believe O.J. is going to be useless the whole year. So they'll get him involved. I think Evans needed this extra time of rest because he clearly was not just sick in game one, but I mean really, really sick. And then turn around and play 4 days later, you could tell.
Yeah,
he's still,
you can read it on his
face.
He's
not right. He hasn't been right. He hasn't been the difference maker. So, listen, we've had to throw in tight windows and find a way. And Jameis was not sharp to start this game, but he played smart from the second quarter on. If Perryman could catch, they had another touchdown in their hands.
Yeah.
We had another drop down the field with
that was Evans on the corner. That was his best throw in the early going.
Yeah, it's
was
a great
that corner
throw.
Route. I mean, that's a
catch the ball.
Dime piece.
Yeah, so, I mean, he had a couple moments there where you're like, stats could have been better. But I'm not worried about it because I liked what I saw from him under control, not turning the ball over.
So there are a couple of plays, actually three. One is it's a 9-yard scramble on a 2nd and 8, and that sets up the Peyton Barber touchdown run.
Yeah.
But just the thought process, you can see him going through his progressions, and then he rolls out, and he has no second thoughts, and he uses his legs.
Yeah.
because some concern, there was some concern in Tampa Bay circles that maybe they really don't want him to run at all, and he's turning it down for a chance to make a play down the field. So that's important in a huge situation to get a touchdown out of it. Then there's the third and eighth throw to Chris Godwin late in the game as we're making that long drive, and we needed that drive sorely because our defense was running out of gas.
Yeah.
What was it, like 6 minutes? I know you don't get the touchdown. You really want the touchdown, but at the very least, you took so much time off the clock, increased the urgency for Carolina to respond. And then there's a second down play where it's the old smoke route. It's a design run, but Jameis Winston sees one-on-one with Evans. He decides to run a quick slant, fire the ball. They get a quick 10 yards, 11 yards, whatever it is. Well, that tells me he's seeing the field and he's comfortable in the moment. And that's a really big moment to make that decision on your own. Good. These little signs that confidence is building as his mind gets retrained.
And now the step two to show maturity and, again, build belief from the fan base, perhaps in that locker room, more importantly, certainly. You take care of business as a favorite at home against the Giants this week and go to 2-1. Give yourself a fighting chance here, guys.
You know, the most interesting thing I saw in watching the game a second time, and I did it on Monday, is the Barrett sacks, the three of them, plus the holding, plus a couple other huge plays. Barrett's in 1-on-1, obviously, and he undresses that tackle.
Yes.
I think one was from the right side, two from the left. Vita Vea is the one who's getting doubled on every one of those plays.
Healthy.
They're
vibrant.
Doubling him. So the coaching staff sees coming into a game not to double Ndamukong Suh, which one would think, conventional wisdom. Mm-hmm. You got Vea coming off of an injury. And so he shouldn't be fresh.
He's looking
so you
good.
Think you're going to focus on 93? No. The film is telling the coaches, we must double Vita, which I find to be really fascinating. And that means that Suh could be a big factor in pass. What would it be?
Pass rush?
Pass rush, but I was going to say collapsing the pocket.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, if he draws one-on-ones and he's a little bit fresher because he had to play two games in 4 days at his advanced age, I was just stunned to see that Vita was the one commanding the double teams.
Remember, at the end of last year, Vita played well, and it raised an eyebrow because at that time, the conversation was so much about what the Bucs didn't draft and who they could have had, obviously.
Yep.
And we talked a lot about it at the time, and it was frustrating, and I said, it's not fair yet. We love Derwin James, but it's not fair yet, guys, to say what a colossal mistake it was. Let's see a healthy Vita. Let's see, because that changes football games in a way that safeties don't typically do. So I just...
And he could be making plays by himself. But again, I just come back to the point that a coaching staff is looking at the defensive front, and you've got a future Hall of Famer on one side, right? And these are your two stalwarts in the interior, and they say, screw that guy. We're going to go after the second-year player because he poses a greater danger to us.
Very cool.
That tells you all you need to know.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Lee DeKipper, JoeBucksFan.com. Continue, not breaking down necessarily, but getting caught up on all things Bucks. I don't want to break down the Giants game. I mean, look, the obvious statement here is that you got to stop Saquon Barkley. That's more than anything else something you've simply got to do if you expect to win this football game. Before we go to that break, though, let me just remind you guys right now, Bill Curry Ford, the 2019 Ford Ranger, is available with 0% APR for 60 months. That's good stuff. There are 23 to choose from, but they're going fast. So drive for 2017. I could do that. Just put the number, guys. 22,417. Just write the number. I can read it. Or lease for only $329 per month. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com or at the dealership 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mary. Mabry. Not Dale Mary.
It'd be Mary.
Would it be something? Jeff, just
full
take a left on
grace.
Dale Mary. What?
The Bulls is with you.
As always, new and pre-owned vehicles at Bill Curry Ford come with their famous nationwide lifetime warranty, BillCurryFord.com. Right there off of Dale Mabry.
Blessed are all the Bruce Arians.
Dale Mabry's like, I think I'm going to call my sister. I do. I need to. Scuttlebucks continues in a moment.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang. We'll be right back.
fun to do the Scuttlebucks. It's more fun to do the Scuttlebucks and welcome our next guest in after a win. I actually posited that the last time Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, joined us on the program, and voila, it happened. So I want to speak it into the ether again. Bucks should go to 2-1 after they throttle the Giants this weekend. And frankly, I think if you're a Bucks fan right now, you'd be looking at, say, the first six games, maybe the first eight games, and you're feeling pretty good about a 3-3 or a 4-4, maybe even a little touch better. So we'll have to see. Let's bring him in right now. Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, joins us on the program. Hello, Lee. How the hell are you, buddy?
Hey, I can't complain. Thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, buddy. Okay, so like we said last time, it's nice to win football games, especially important road games, and games in which your defense rises up. I thought they left points on the field. If you have receivers who can make professional catches, it would help. It's weird so far. I mean, we're getting nothing from O.J. Howard. He's been a useless player on this offense. That's taken this offense a step back, I believe. You've got drop touchdown passes in both games that are perplexing. Obviously, Evans started the year under the weather, couldn't separate, couldn't get open. He hasn't been the beast that he normally is. So I think there's plenty of optimism when you actually look at this team and realize that they're 1-1. The defense is vastly improved, and I think the offense is going to continue to get better if guys start playing with a little degree of consistency.
That's a very good point about the offense. I mean, who would have dreamed O.J. Howard would be basically a non-factor through two games? Well, aside from, you know, fumbling a ball and creating an interception.
Sure,
but other than that, he's been a non-factor.
Yeah, he's been a negative.
Yes,
right.
So he's only going to get better. Evans, you make a good point about Evans as well. He was under the weather. He was really sick. He was, he was barfing on the sidelines the first game. And you have to wonder, and I talked to him, and he kind of blew it off. He was like, no. You know, he kind of dodged it a little bit. Not dodged, but waved it off. You got to wonder if he had some lingering effects still on Thursday night, because
yeah,
that's 4 days later. So I'm like you. It's only a matter of time. It is a little concerning that an offense with these skill position players are only 21st in the NFL in yards, offensive yards. That's a little concern. That shouldn't be. But also, you can argue that when Arians was at Arizona his first year, the offense really didn't kick in until midseason. And then, poof, it went crazy. So maybe it's a work in progress. We shall see. As far as being 1-1, what's really cool about this, in a sense, is San Francisco's undefeated. Now, they might be a decent team. So going down to the wire with the 49ers, you know, that may not be such an ugly loss. I mean, a loss is a loss, but, you know, it's not like getting blown out like they were with Mike Smith.
No, I think that's exactly right. I'm sitting there watching them boat race Cincinnati, who's not any good, but nonetheless, you really look at that final score of the San Francisco-Tampa Bay game, it's deceiving. Obviously, you have the defensive touchdowns for the 49ers in that game, but their offense didn't move the ball up and down the field. I have a suspicion their offense is going to be good because Shanahan's arguably the best play caller in football. So if Garoppolo gets, you know, is even decent, they're going to have a good year offensively. And I think we'll look back on that Bucks game and say it's a damn shame that, you know, we had the mistakes in that game that cost us dearly, but we'll be very proud of that defense. And listen, right now, the thing if I'm a Bucks fan, and Lee, I don't know what the boards look like on JoeBucksFan.com, but I got to tell you, if I'm a Bucks fan after watching the sieve, the embarrassment that has been this defense for the last number of years, right now I'm buoyed in a way that I haven't been in an awful long time. I see guys triggering downhill and lighting people up. I see an understanding conceptually, which leads to a more physical, faster, you know, condition on defense where guys can play. They're free to play and not think. There aren't gaping holes. I see an engaged Ndamukong Suh. Listen, I've got to tell you, I think right now as a Bucks fan, I'm really elated. I think they'll go out and confuse Daniel Jones this weekend. He saw nothing in preseason football, and people fawn over guys who produce in preseason. It's ridiculous. So, you know, give me Todd Bowles against a rookie quarterback making his first start. I'll take it all damn day.
Well, you know what? Arians did a press conference call with the New York beat writers yesterday, and he essentially said, we're not worried about Jones. We're worried about Barkley. And yesterday at Arians' press conference, as practice resumed after the Thursday night game, you know, obviously he was asked about Jones and Manning, and this is before the announcement was made that Jones would be the quarterback. And Arians said, hey, it's the same offense, the same guy calling the plays. So it's not going to change that much. And I never really thought of it that way, but it makes a lot of sense. The the guy calling the plays, the offensive coordinator, is still going to have his tendencies, still going to have his favorite plays, and it is the same offense, just a different quarterback. Now, the only difference, and Arians said just a few minutes ago, Arians did say the only difference, well, I wouldn't say only, but the main difference between Jones and Manning is Jones is mobile, so they have to worry about what they call a gap integrity. They have to worry about that, whereas Eli, when he came off the field, he had to wipe the pigeon droppings off his shoulder pad.
Yeah, he wasn't going to move. I watched Daniel Jones at Duke. I cover the ACC. Watched him at Duke. Daniel may go on to have a fine career. I don't think he will. I don't wish ill will against him. He wasn't good. He wasn't good in college. I'm telling you that straight up. He was not a great quarterback in college.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Bowles loves to run blitzes. He loves the blitz. He loves that. You can't tell me Jones has seen all the kind of blitzes that Bowles is probably going to use on him Sunday afternoon.
No.
So, like you, I think he's going to have a rude awakening, so to speak.
Well, and the only thing I will say, if I'm going to play devil's advocate against myself here and take the other side for a second, because, listen, these guys, now that he's free to concentrate solely on football and not academics and he's all invested, okay, maybe he emerges with a little bit better play than I thought he ever had in college. But one thing I will note, and just kind of looking at Daniel Jones, is that to me, when you looked at the passes thrown in preseason, not the coverages and not the ability to read defenses because they were vanilla defenses, they were crisper. He is probably an upgrade over the current Eli Manning. Eli's savvy, obviously. Eli's been around, won two Super Bowls, all those things. I got you. But Eli has been a shell of himself for four seasons. He hasn't been any good at all for three seasons, at all. So you might be getting a guy with a little bit more life in that arm than we've seen from the Giants offense the last 3 years.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, Eli has been, I don't know, out of misguided loyalty or whatever, he's been basically granted two extra years to be behind center with the Giants. And it's commendable in some ways, but, he's got to win ballgames. And he's got an awful record last couple of years. He really has.
Let me ask you something. Bruce Arians, you talked about what he said with Daniel Jones. Rondé Barber, who's going in the Ring of Honor this weekend, deservedly so, by the way, incredible career in Tampa Bay. I rarely agree with his analysis about the Bucs, but as a player, he certainly deserves this honor. In terms of run defense, he noted that Devin White, rookie, number one pick for the Bucs, has to improve in run defense. Has Arians or anybody on the Buccaneers like Todd Bowles mentioned anything of that nature?
No, they have not, because they've been talking about how good the run defense has been. It's really interesting that Barber would say that. The reason why I think it's interesting, Barber's very, very tight with Jason Light. And Barber likes to sugarcoat things when it comes to the Bucs. So in my eyes, he must see something that's really sticking out like a sore thumb for him to come out and say that. So that's like, whoa. And honestly, Devin White, and I've said before, I wouldn't have drafted him. Not because I didn't think he was a good player. I just wanted the different position. He has been underwhelming. I'll be honest. He's been underwhelming. And for a number five pick, he's been underwhelming. And I don't know if he's still learning. Arians, he'll say stuff like, oh, he puts guys in position. Well, so did Minter. Minter was the number five overall pick. You would think a number five overall pick would have an impact earlier than Melvin is. So I don't know. Maybe he could be, obviously he's nursing an injury. Maybe that's it. But maybe he's a late bloomer. I don't know what to think about that. But it's a little disappointing that a guy that was picked number five overall isn't at least making a few impact plays.
Yeah, I'll give him time. I want to see it. The defense is playing well right now. That's what I care about.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Well, here's one for you, Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's one for you. Before Thursday night's game, if you would have said Christian McCaffrey would be held to 37 yards, you think he'd have too many craft beers to sell at?
As I'm wont to do, sir.
That's how good the defense has been playing, especially against the run.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, I mean, looking back, you mentioned at the start of this conversation, we may look back at that San Francisco game if they keep putting up points, and there's no reason to believe that they won't, given who's calling plays. And again, I'm very, very high on Shanahan, have been for a very long time, so I have a suspicion.
He's very talented, yeah.
Yeah, I have a suspicion they're going to move the ball on people, and we're going to look back at that Bucs game and go, that was an indicator this defense had come an awful long way and began to believe and, you know, has faith in Todd Bowles and now understands scheme and concept. And so it's exciting. Knock on wood. Listen, it's a hell of a lot more fun to talk to you. I always love talking to you, but it's more fun to talk to you after a win, sir. Let's hope I'm doing it again after this weekend. And as always, I'll tell everybody to make sure to go hit it up on JoeBucksFan.com. Be well, Lee.
You're too kind, Jeff, and cross our fingers for another win.
All right, buddy. Take care. Yeah, that's Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Look, obviously, I'm pretty high on the Bucks right now, and the division just got a lot more interesting, didn't it? With as Tom and I were talking about earlier in the show. Tom, to follow up on that, we came into the year with a suspicion, certainly I mentioned it, that Cam may not be Cam anymore. And, you know, he opted not to have the surgery. He's had a bunch of other injuries. Now it's the foot. He was shot putting footballs last year. He can't complete a pass beyond 20 yards to save his life. He no longer runs at all. And if a guy with that body isn't going to run and convert those third and shorts the way he did so consistently for years in this league and certainly in his MVP season, well, now you're looking at the shell of the guy that used to be and is no longer, and Carolina becomes very one-dimensional. They're Christian McCaffrey and nobody. A really old tight end who I respect greatly in Olsen, but again, they become Christian McCaffrey and nobody. They get a lot easier to defend when I can walk my safeties up because I don't have to defend the whole field against you. So all of a sudden, Carolina's a different animal. Obviously, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints are an interesting story. I also raised eyebrows at the start of this year with Drew Brees. You know, they got the big win to start the season. Now, I could not have foreseen a thumb injury. Certainly wouldn't wish it on the Saints and Drew Brees. But I thought the end of the year was a bad sign for the Saints last year, and that maybe, just maybe, we would see a diminished Saints team this year. So remember that first game at the end of the game, they lead the big drive to come back. The kid makes the 58-yard field goal, whatever he makes, and everybody talks about Drew Brees. Well, okay, Drew Brees, the Hall of Famer, savvy as ever, understanding where you got to go with the football, all of that's in place. But he wasn't throwing the ball down the field. It wasn't until the fourth quarter late that he made it completed a pass over 25 yards. So I was beginning to wonder, that's something to keep an eye on. Unfortunately, he got hurt. The point is, I had questions about the Saints before the injury. I got a lot of questions about the Saints now.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at Carolina, we can kind of see where that one's going.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to hit the pause button on the Saints because Bridgewater is a capable backup. And before the severe injury, he looked like he was turning a corner
with
his poise, his pocket presence. I remember we were talking about a game years ago on the regular show up here in Tallahassee against Arizona where he stood in the pocket and took shots against Arizona of all teams.
Yeah.
And he made throws down the field. So Bridgewater is at least capable.
He may emerge. We'll see.
And that offense is loaded, so that helps. And the offensive line's pretty good, so that helps. And he's also been under the tutelage of Sean Payton and Drew Brees for a couple of years. All I'm saying is he might be able to carry them for a 6 to 8 week period to where they're 500, and they still have plenty of space to finish the season strong with Drew Brees.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going 6-10.
Carolina, though.
And by the way, Matt Ryan hasn't been any good since the Super Bowl season. So let's just say that right now. He's okay.
Didn't you see that bomb down the field of Julio Jones to end the game?
See, here's the thing. He's okay. Now, he's okay surrounded by a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
And if I were handicapping the division right now, you would handicap the division in favor if we were handing out odds. And by the way, the Bucks would be huge plus odds, which you might want to jump on. You would be handicapping the division in favor of the Falcons.
Yes, currently. You have to. But I would say that, you know, an eked out victory at home on Sunday Night Football over the Philadelphia Eagles, who had no passing attack whatsoever, and you really should have lost that game because Aguilar
got to catch the ball.
Has gator arms in the final seconds of that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really all that impressive.
I'm not all that impressed by them at all. I'm just saying I think they have the most complete team in the division. I would tell you that the NFC South looks bad. Again,
hallelujah.
Yeah,
it's been forever.
It's been about time, right? But I would tell you also this. Fine. It's ripe for the picking. So come on, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Now look here. All of a sudden, we look at that schedule, right? And we're like, dude, the schedule's ridiculous. And it is because we're going to be road weary, exhausted. All that's true. We're never at home for a stretch. It's out of control. The NFL screwed us.
Yeah.
Absolutely bent us over.
It's home, L.A., New Orleans, England, bye
Tennessee,
week,
back
Tennessee,
across the country.
Seattle.
Yeah, screw you. Yeah. Screw you, NFL. And that is objectively true. That's not from the mouth of a Bucs fan, which I am. That is also objectively true. The league admitted it. They came out and virtually apologized to the Bucks for the shafting they delivered them when that schedule got announced. So, You got to overcome this schedule. It's brutal. But when you look at the names of the teams, not the distance.
Yeah.
And you think about what they are and what the Bucks now look like they may be defensively. And Jameis playing under control. Really, outside that first quarter against Carolina, I thought the rest of the game he played the way they wanted him to play. Mix in a couple of catches, and all of a sudden we got a 3-touchdown game here in terms of the production. But moreover, he was smart with the football. A little dicey to start the game. Calm down. Really has to start better in general. But that said, I liked his mindset. I liked where his eyes were, where his head was. You did too. I know we talked about it before we started the Scuttlebucks and earlier this week. We saw some signs that maybe it's starting to click with him about the concepts, what Arians is trying to teach him about what this offense can do. And by the way, I'm going to reiterate this with the Lita Kemper stuff. Mike Evans has not been Mike Evans. Mike Evans looks like an average receiver, and we know he's not. This is clearly the byproduct of exhaustion, dehydration, sickness, yes. All of that.
Yeah, of course, you have two games in a span of 4 days.
Sure, well, that's the NFL.
When he's sick.
There you go. Yes. So he's sick. You know, OJ, what's going on with OJ Howard? I'm really getting frustrated with this. I'm going to need my man to contribute in the way that we know he can athletically and that he was on the verge of being.
Yeah, upon review of that game, there was only one, the one target was called back. And,
no, I'm saying, though, he can't possibly be getting open if he has zero catches.
I think that's probably true. He was at least engaged in the run blocking game. Upon looking at the Peyton Barber touchdown for a second time, you see that he actually clears out Keekly out of the hole.
Which is a hell of an accomplishment. It really is. Yeah.
And he seemed engaged. I watched it real quick.
I hadn't given up on him, but I need him to play ball now. Come on.
I agree. I do think that there was one play late, and I don't know that OJ was the open receiver. It might have been underneath. But we need to be careful about a Mike Evans ratio if he's not playing well. I do think that final third down where we kick the field goal to go up six, it's over Mike Evans' head and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. I think that was a predetermined read. The offense is about Bruce said it earlier this week. This offense is literally about what the defense gives you is where you throw the ball. It's not about we got to get the ball in our playmakers' hands. There's a big difference. I think Dirk Cutter was about get the ball in your playmakers' hands. I don't care what the defense looks like. Get the ball to Mike Evans. Get the ball to DeSean Jackson down the field because these are your best players. Bruce doesn't wire it that way, and I think that's a little bit of the difference.
Everybody's trying to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, definitely.
They're still figuring it out. By the way, what I've also figured out is the reason Breshad Perriman was available. He can't catch. So
needs to be improvement there. Well,
looked like a child trying to catch the football in the end zone, like an uncoordinated 6-year-old child in my front yard that I throw to on the regular. I mean, what is this cross-handed? What are we doing here? That look on Jameis's face was priceless, and you want him to do more of it because he just rolled him right then and there. It was awesome.
I do. I think what this coaching staff is fostering is a higher level of accountability, which means the players feel comfortable calling each other out. With Dirk, it was always passive-aggressive. At least Bruce is in your face. I mean, that's what you want. When you have one kind of coach, you have to go get the other kind of coach to help heal the locker room. Well, Bruce is bringing in accountability.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. I mean, even if you listen to Levante David and the Wired for Sound thing that the Bucks put out yesterday, which would be Tuesday, he's yelling at his teammates to take advantage of the chances and the opportunities in the middle of the game.
Yeah, it's great.
They're on the field. He goes, take advantage of the chances. stop being a bleep.
Yeah.
Stop being a bleep.
Yeah.
Good. I hope that is the culture across the board, because then we all get better for it.
Well, and they're infusing that sort of confidence and engendering a sense of ability and you know, a countenance and a belief. And so, man, if you can't tell, this episode of the Scuttlebucks is one that is 180 from where we were after week one, after that pick six to end the game where Jameis makes an indescribably poor decision instead of just firing that into the end zone or taking a grounding or whatever, and firing it in the stands or just taking a grounding penalty or whatever he needed to do there, not throw the interception. Outside of that, I really feel like, because even in that game, there were positive signs. We ran the football effectively. Obviously, Jones looked great. This game, they obviously changed backs, and Barber was the hot hand, and that's fine.
Well, and you ran it late.
Yeah.
You ran it late.
Ran
in that
it
game,
late in that
which
game.
Is, they knew it was coming for that one drive where we go all the way down the field. They know it's coming. They can't stop it.
Well, and even, you know, I know how the game ends puts a bad taste in your mouth going back 2 weeks, but again, O.J. Howard serves up an interception in the red zone. He also fumbles the ball in the red zone. We have two touchdowns that can't break called back. I mean,
Yeah, it's there. It's a pure NFL one-score game, which Carolina fans can look at last Thursday and say, like, the five things that went wrong for them.
Yeah.
Pure NFL, but which is good.
What was the stat I gave you at the start of the year? Arians wins those games.
Yes, he does.
His entire career, he wins those games.
The best part is that he tried to F this one up with the double timeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was right. The first thing he said, well, they bailed me out.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
I like that he owned it.
Isn't it nice
to take responsibility?
Isn't it refreshing?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, listen, if he has to own it, you know, 12 times this year, then screw him.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he owns it.
No, just instead of
we ran the Bucks offense, and we need to run it better.
That was ridiculous. I'm still upset about that. We'll come back, wrap it up on the Scuttlebucks. Give you some thoughts on what we think the final will be against the Giants. I'm feeling good, feeling froggy. Let's do it.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
I just want to let the music ride, feeling good, get us a cold beer, and watch the Buccaneers football.
A lot of my people down in Tampa say that this is mandatory Sunday or last week, Thursday night pregame material. They enjoy the Scuttlebucks before it starts.
Oh, well, hello, Scuttlebucks fans. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Wish we were there with you in Tampa, hanging out, watching a Bucks game.
We'll make it to one this year, at least.
Oh, I told the boys, we're going. I gotta give you the game. I think it's Arizona.
You did not.
Yeah, I think it's Arizona. What happened? Did you want to go to that one?
No, somebody else. We'll talk about that.
We're gonna
have
to talk about that. Somebody.
They asked six ways to Sunday, literally, about that game.
I got screwed last year. We're gonna have to flip a coin on.
Well, there's December ones though. There's a lot of.
Yeah, but that's the only one the kids can go to.
Jesus,
because of the...
You gotta be kidding me! Of all of them,
I only wanted to go to one game last year too, and I think it was Travis stole my ticket.
That's who it is.
He's not going. I'll call him. He's not going. That's how that's gonna go. I just want all the Scuttlebucks fans can hear how this is gonna go. There's a guy in the
he's
office
been asking
we love.
For 2 months, and
sorry,
I said,
Travis, if you're listening to the Scuttlebucks, you're not going. I'll work out a deal with you. You can figure out some other way to get tickets, but I'm taking those. Here we go. By the way, should be noted. Attention all first responders through September. We want to get this out there. It's important. Bill Curry Ford is doubling the Ford rebate available to you. That's $2,000 off because that's what first responders mean to Bill Curry Ford, home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford has been Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com. or at their friendly showroom 1 mile north at Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com. Way to go, Bill Curry Ford. We appreciate your support of the Scuttlebucks, and we appreciate your support of the first responders. I like them, Tom. I like the Bucks this week a lot. I think that, obviously, you're talking about the best running back in football, in my estimation, him and alongside Ezekiel Elliott. To me, I hate to admit this, but I really enjoy watching Saquon Barkley play. I marvel. But obviously the Bucks defense can't get caught watching the paint dry. You got to make plays, and that's where the game starts and basically ends. How effective are you against the Giants run game? Because believe me, if you're the Giants and you've got a kid making his first start, you want to rely heavily on that run game and throw off a play action. You want to give the kid a fighting chance.
Yeah.
If you can shut that down and put him in second and third and obvious throwing the football, I like this attack defense. I like our chances to get off the field on third down, unlike previous seasons. And I think the game, while more complicated typically on a whiteboard than that, truly does come down to that this week in terms of just big picture analysis. Do you shut down the run game here?
Yeah, I think this is the first time when I'm looking at the Bucs defense in a game of any kind. First time in a very long time where I'm licking my chops.
You're excited.
It's a rookie quarterback against a coordinator who has taken away what you do best, quote unquote, 2 weeks in a row. He's 2 for 2. Can he go 3-for-3 and take away Saquon Barkley? One thing that Bruce Arians stressed early in the week is that you've got to take proper angles and you got to fill the correct gaps, because if you don't, Saquon will find it and it's a house call.
Yeah, he's special.
In a way, if Saquon goes for a buck 50 and a score, that's fine, because he can't go for 2 and change and 2 scores. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking all-purpose yards,
yeah,
because he's going to be their offense. But the whole point as well is, yes, if you stop the run, you got a rookie quarterback and third and obvious, and you got blitz packages he's never seen before, it all plays into your hands. Now the question is, can you win a game that you are most certainly supposed to win? That's a little bit different for the Bucs franchise. You're supposed to win this game. There really is no scenario in which a Bucs fan could walk out of Raymond James Sunday night and say, oh, that's okay, I understand, we're still building towards a better tomorrow. No. This is one that has to go in the back pocket.
You gotta win,
because
the
schedule gets freaking brutal in terms of air miles logged,
sure,
between now and November.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, the Bucs aren't a team that you can just, as a fan, certainly, go into and say and assume victory against anybody. I mean, we have not been that team in a long, 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 long time, okay? Plus, it's the league. Short of the Miami Dolphins right now, everybody's live on a given Sunday. Everybody's got a shot to beat you. We see it all the time, all the time. So, you know, I would only exclude the Dolphins from having any chance of really winning a game on any given Sunday. And they may win one this year. By the way, Vegas has them at like 1.5 right now. So that'll tell you what they think as well. But everybody else on a given Sunday, the spread's usually 7. It's right there. You make some mistakes, you lose the football game. So I'm not assuming that because the Bucs are playing better and it's a rookie quarterback, they're going to win. But I am saying what you're saying, which is they should. They should win this game. And if they're going to be a team of significance a month from now, where we're having a real conversation about what's possible, and including the outside chance of reaching a wild card spot, then they win this game, period. Now, look, get this. They held Christian McCaffrey to 2.3 yards per catch, 53 total yards. he was totally shut down last week.
My favorite part was Bruce Arians basically dismissing Christian McCaffrey while answering the question. You stop McCaffrey, what do you need to do? Barkley goes, well, they're on different planets. You see, McCaffrey's, you know, he's on a different planet. Barkley is all the way up here.
Yeah, as a pure runner, that's true. Yeah. I think McCaffrey is diverse in a way that we never would have guessed coming out of college. I mean, he had a great college career, but he's gotten big now, and he can do all these other things.
I think the nightmare, well, you know, Saquon could get 60 yards plus in 5 different ways. McCaffrey, maybe 1 or 2. And I think that's what scares Bruce, is he's like, oh, jeez.
Well, Barkley will run your ass over. I mean, that's the thing.
He can run you over. He can run by you. Yeah. He can run around you.
He can jump you.
McCaffrey probably needs to be a scheme mismatch. He gets lined up in a linebacker, and he lines up in the slot, motions out from next to the quarterback. And,
Yeah.
Now you could see a wheel or some kind of shot down the field. But he's not always going to be able to. Every time he touches the ball isn't like you're on alert.
No.
Saquon, every time he touches the ball, you are on high alert. Got to get his ass down on the ground, because contact isn't enough.
No, and his legs are the size of Texas. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I would hate to be playing in this game. I would hate to be a defender.
We're playing
this game
so physically.
Ooh, this is where you have to play so physically.
Yay.
This has to be
outstanding.
Nasty. You have to ratchet this up on a 10 to a 10 on the physical meter. You are correct. So anyhow, I like the Bucs. I'll take us to win the game. You know, I hate scores with the NFL just because it's silly, but I like the Bucs 24-14.
You say 27-17.
Okay,
yeah, that's about
same,
right.
Same game. I'd be a little disappointed if they score 17 points against us, but I understand.
Is it a short field because of a fumble or a turnover?
Yeah. No, it's not. Tom, we're not turning the ball over.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not turning the ball over. We may end up boat racing the Giants, Tom, protecting the football. It's a new mindset.
Well, you talk about a game where you want to manage and protect the football. This is it.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Make the rookie beat you.
You may have to take some chances against the Rams on the road. Just saying. But this one, yeah.
The Rams on the road, could we start our backups, rest all the starters, and then just go ahead and concede that you're going to be 2-2? And then that way, the bodies recover.
They're ready for England.
Ready
send them to England,
England
early. Yeah.
Go to 3-2. See, you're managing your guys. Load management, Tom. That's an unwinnable game out in L.A.
Well, McVay would do it.
thanks for listening to the Scuttlebucks. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. We appreciate Lita Kipper at JoeBucksFan.com and all of you. And we'll talk to you next time. Go Bucks!